This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
How are we doing, Mr. Durham?
I'm good, Pack. Great to be with you this morning. Looking forward to a great show. We got a full show here. Coleman Scott's going to join us ahead of Friday Night Duels. Clyde Trapp from Clemson will be here. Let's see. Anish Shroff's going to preview ACC lacrosse, which starts this weekend. Jeff Capel and Jim Larinaga all in the Power Hour.
Do we have enough time just for us, or is it just going to be all guests?
I think it's all guests today, which actually, I think that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of them.
Your math's all over it. I can tell it must be near game time because you all of a sudden razor sharp with the math.
No question. So trying to get that done, and I think we got a nice show for you. 844-SAY-ACCN. We'll take some more phone calls. We lit up the internet.
We did again.
In some places. And we'll talk about that about 8 o'clock. So, and a big basketball weekend ahead. I mean, there's some really big ball games starting tomorrow at noon with Georgia Tech and Notre Dame. They're going to honor Kelly Trepuka, by the way.
Well, that's
cool. Put his jersey in of Notre Dame's only Final Four team.
That's weird, isn't it?
1978.
Digger.
Checker Dome in St. Louis,
right,
and little-known codicil of the Final Four. They played the Final Four on Indiana's floor that they trucked down from Bloomington,
right,
at Assembly Hall, because this was back in the day before the NCAA had this. They were flush with cash, as kids like to say. And they pulled the floor out at the old Checker Dome in St. Louis and put it together a week ahead of the Final Four. And found out it was warped. And so one thing led to another, and next thing you know, they're playing it on Indiana's floor. And if you ever get to see the video of Jack Givens, was it 41 points, 42 points?
He scored on the G-Man again.
Oh, wow, really?
Yes, really. He was unbelievable.
They showed the Indiana floor. So Kelly Trepuka, long story short, being honored, he was on that Final Four team in Notre Dame 1978. That's tomorrow when they host Georgia Tech. And a full schedule of other games. As you've noted, a very important weekend for the Glob.
For the Glob and for the top. For the top. Florida State at Virginia Tech. Louisville at NC State. Be careful. Duke at Syracuse. Those are three. Those are the big boys at the top on the road. Just be careful. Now, we'll get to the men's side. Last night it was ladies' night. Speaking of upsets all over the joint, how about what was going on last night? BC knocks off Florida State, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Pitt wins their first conference game of the year.
Right.
Right? They do their thing.
Yeah. They beat Georgia, Wake Forest.
Right. Georgia Tech continues to struggle after the quick start. Mm-hmm. We talked about that with Jen Heldrick.
They went to overtime last night.
Right. Syracuse knocked off Virginia Tech. The Hokies have been playing well.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of crazy there, but the very top for the ladies – Louisville still undefeated, 10-0 in the league. NC State wins at Clemson. They're 9-1. True separation of those two versus the rest of the field.
Yeah, there's going to be a gap there. I think
it already is.
Yeah, and it's going to get bigger.
It just looks like those two have said, "Hey, you know what? We're just a cut above everybody else." And of course, we mentioned the fact that February 13th is the mm-hmm. showdown game with Louisville and NC State, and kind of cool this weekend that. Jeff Walls, who joined us earlier this week, has got Team USA coming to Louisville, mm-hmm. and that would be an incredible scene. They're expecting a monster crowd for
right.
that. So if you love your ladies' basketball, that would be a cool thing to check out.
Yeah. Women's side, really two teams. Men's side's got the three and then a little bit of the split, but we'll see who can close this weekend. Should be pretty interesting. I'm curious to see. You mentioned Florida State at Virginia Tech and Louisville at NC State, and then –
Duke
at Syracuse, based on the orange the other night.
That game is going to be a zoo. At West, they've played such great games.
Oh, no question about that.
And I'm not talking about it from 100 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Since Syracuse has joined the league, I could probably make the case that Duke-Syracuse has probably delivered more than any other showdown, other than, of course, Duke-North Carolina, which is
right.
its own deal.
Yeah,
I mean, Virginia and Louisville have had some great games. But Duke-Syracuse, both at Cameron and in the Dome, have been fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. Tyus Battle had huge games. Elijah Hughes, big shot at the half a year ago at Cameron. Duke won the ball game in the return game at the Carrier Dome.
Do you think Duke's just going to go up there and say, "Hey, you know what, we're just better than you"?
No.
I think that's going to be.
I will say this though, Clemson. I mean, Syracuse the other night got post people in foul trouble. Barama Sidibe in foul trouble. Thing you cannot have that happen against Duke now.
Well, hold on a second. Let me bring
out. No.
Hold on.
Early.
Here you are talking about the numbers, being the math whiz that you are. I will point out to you that Duke is a plus 13 in free throw margin. All right. Something to keep an eye on. But Syracuse is even better at plus 30. So Syracuse has been getting to the line more than their ACC opponents for everybody except for Miami. I guess from a foul standpoint, Wes, Duke's been called for 17 more fouls than their ACC opponents. Syracuse, flip in, minus one. Huh. So my point is, again, I'm not telling you how the game's played,
right?
But the numbers don't lie. That could be something of concern.
For my ball game tomorrow night at 6 o'clock here on ACC Network, BC, Carolina, do I need to know anything from the index card?
Would you like to know something from the index card?
I just need to know if there's any discernible information that would be helpful or appropriate. Appropriate might be the best.
All right, BC is -3 from the free throw line.
Okay.
North Carolina is +4.
Wow, not a big gap.
Not a big gap.
Okay.
From a foul standpoint, BC has been called for and has had as many fouls called on them. They're dead even. Right? So nothing there.
Okay.
North Carolina, -11. 11 fewer fouls.
All right.
So there's that.
That's not a lot there. Not a lot there for tomorrow.
Not for you. Not that's not one of those bullets that jumps off the page. You go, hey, let me tell you about the
index card. Unload some stats on your kids. Wow, you have some stats.
No, I did the other day.
Some facts and filaments.
Yeah, for your Syracuse Pitt game, you had some to play with. But nothing for that. Yeah. I think the thing about your game is just the momentum of North Carolina.
I agree.
I mean, does totally it agree. Continue? Right? Because I think it's going to.
Be very interesting.
And Cole Anthony, is there a Cole Anthony update? I mean, we went kind of to the source yesterday with Garrison Brooks, who gave a great answer, I thought, when we asked him about the Cole Anthony situation.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. Keep an eye on the heels, though. We harped on this all week. You know, the fact that after they beat up on NC State again, you know, two in a row. Garrison Brooks yesterday was talking about the locker room and leadership, and guys are starting to have fun again, getting after it. So we'll see what happens on that front. North Carolina could be one of those sneaky teams out of the glob here in the second half.
Carolina finds themselves 12th right now. BC is 9th in the standings, but the Tar Heels, because of the rugged second half, and if they were to win Saturday, I think on this show Monday, you're going to have to project what you think Carolina can do in the second half, Pac.
Well, I think they're going to beat Boston College. Anything short of that will be shocking for me. Mm-hmm. But that, to me, is not the litmus test game. Are coming.
Monday night is?
It's one of them.
And then the next Saturday?
Yes. I mean, so that you know, I'm not going to learn more about North Carolina unless they just go out and beat BC by 35.
By the way, how do you think Jim – and we love Jim Christian, right?
Great dude.
Great guy. How do you think Jim Christian's feeling knowing that he gets Carolina Saturday and then turns around and buys Duke at home on Tuesday night ahead of the Duke-Carolina game?
But you got to play him.
I understand, but you know, you're kind of getting right there peppered in a row with them.
But you know, in this league, you don't worry about that stuff. I mean, you shouldn't.
Well, I think some coaches make note of it, but not a lot you can do about it.
You can make note, but you're going to play 20 of them. I mean, so how would you like it? Would you like North Carolina in the opener and Duke at the end?
Right.
I mean, you still have to play them.
Mm-hmm. No, you're right. Exactly.
So, you know,
exactly.
All that scheduling stuff to me falls on deaf ears a little bit. I got to be honest. And I know as a coach it's different and you're not coaching a team, but sitting in this basement, hey, you got to play 20 conference games. Sitting in this basement, not having to coach a lick and never have, and never being wrong with a microphone, hey, I wouldn't worry about it. I mean, you still got to go play 20, Wes.
Not gonna bother me, boys.
Doesn't bother me. You gotta go play.
Right down here in the basement.
Now, you know, sometimes you can look at maybe the start of a season if you have three or four beasts right out of the gate and you say, man, we can get off to a really rugged start. Hey, I get that. But the flip side is eventually somewhere you have a smooth sailing period.
Yeah.
So that's how I feel about that whole deal.
All right. So we got a big show. Notepad makes its return.
I gotta be honest with you. When I knocked that out yesterday, it took about 20 seconds.
Came right to you, did it?
Yeah, well, for me it did.
What are you reading? I'm sitting here looking to see what else we got on the show sheet.
Well, you know, we're just going to wing it, aren't we?
Plus, we got a package.
We had a couple packages, as a matter of fact. There's one that's over there on the green room that you can see from the upper deck shot.
Yeah.
We'll open that one later. And yesterday, actually, there's two other packages. One's already been opened, really for both you and Robert. I don't think Otto has any interest. I have none. But my better half, Mrs. P, purchased a coffee maker for you guys, so I don't have to go up and down the steps serving you two morons.
Yeah, we hate for you to have to stress out.
Well, I mean, that's
struggle
about the only exercise I get anymore.
Activity of going up and down the stairs.
Well, I mean, I never leave the house, so yeah. That's the deal. So you have a brand new coffee machine, which is being debuted today, literally 8 feet down the hallway, waiting for you. And the good news is Robert says he's got one just like that at home. So he knows how to operate it, which really helps me out.
So I can order some coffee, and Robert will have it prepared.
That's it. You're two sweet and lows. Mrs. P got you covered on all that.
This has turned into a quality adventure for me.
Well, I mean, that's one gift that you're not aware of. The other gift is something that you and I have mentioned to the ESPN suits and executives in corner offices, that this set that is fantastic, we have been asked, is there anything – that ESPN can do to make it easier for us, as if it couldn't get any easier to begin with.
Right.
And our response, ironically, it was similar, were these chairs.
Yeah.
And you said, you know, if we can have something that swivels, it would be better just because of the angles that we've got here where the cameras are, the table and everything else. Well, one of those chairs that you requested arrived yesterday. Not two, but one.
So do we anticipate that chair will be assembled at some point, or am I going to be responsible for that?
Monday. I'll do it this weekend.
Oh, you're going to put it together?
Well, I mean, unless you want to take it home with you, you can do it yourself.
I'm working this weekend.
Well, we'll do it again. We'll get you coffee. We'll get you your
chair.
Come
by here and watch the Super Bowl, put a chair together Sunday. Is that the plan?
Well, if whatever makes you happy. By the way, what do you do for the Super Bowl?
Me?
If you're not broadcasting it.
Do
you even watch it? A little bit? It's like, is it background noise?
Last year I didn't watch any. Last year I didn't watch it at all. I don't know that I'll watch any of it this year.
I'll watch some of it.
Maybe some here and there. I mean, I told you yesterday I want Kansas City to win just because I think it's a good story.
So, you just like the broadcast guy there.
Well, Mitch too, great guy. Yeah. One of the best. So,
by the way, speaking of big-time NFL dudes, how about the story yesterday of a guy that you and I met at the ACC Legends, not this past December, but before, Ed Reed. One of the all-time great players.
Yeah,
right.
No
and
question.
Mr. He was incredibly gracious and tremendous when we were hanging out with him. Cool, easy to talk to, laid back.
Good guy.
Totally chill, right? He, yesterday afternoon, was announced as the Miami Hurricanes football, quote-unquote, chief of staff. Now, I'm telling you, this dude is a bad man now. But
if he goes like that to the sidelines,
why not?
It's a win.
Dude, he is super cool. So he's the chief of staff, which means he's going to be part of the strategic planning, quality control, player evaluation and development, a little bit of everything, right? Locker room, outside the locker room, the whole deal. You like that move or not? Do you even understand that move?
I think the best way for Miami – to get back is to understand what today is as opposed to what the 1990s and early 2000s were, right? You agree with that?
Yeah, but, you know, isn't that why you get a head coach? I'm just asking. Isn't that part of it?
Yeah, I think what you get in Ed Reed is you get a guy who can also be, I don't want to say go-between, but a guy who is
glue?
There. Yeah, guy who's there day to day, who can then say, hey, guys, look, you know, it's a lot different than when we were in school. We have to do A, B, C, and D now as opposed to just whatever we want on things.
Let me tell you something.
Like it or don't like it?
I think it's a cool story. But, I mean, hey, Manny Diaz got to turn the thing around.
Well, and here's the other thing, too. He's got, you know, they've got De'Eric King back. But Miami's got all the tradition and former player swag and everything else you could humanly want in a program.
Right.
The problem is that those former guys, you know, to paraphrase Patino, those former guys aren't walking through that door. You know?
Well, that's kind of where I'm going. That you know, your head coach is to go out and recruit.
By the way, Manny's Twitter game is hot.
Always is. He was good last year in the Twitter game.
Yeah. But I think you have to have a connection. Let me give you an example, okay?
You're basically saying there needs to be meat on the bone.
Well, yes, but I also think, too, that it's important that former players be connected to a program where former players are still the face of that program.
And I love that part of this.
Okay, I do, too. But also remember, too, you've got a lot of front-facing guys, Michael Irvin, Ray Lewis.
Everywhere.
Clinton Portis, name it, right?
Yeah, it's awesome.
Frank Gore. I mean, they go on and on and on and on.
Love it, love it, love it.
So it's important, then, that you have former players connected to that program who can serve as a conduit to current players and the former legends who are front-facing camera guys, you know, on media being asked about it all the time, whatnot. Give me an example. Duke and Carolina basketball. Would you argue there's a better alumni base on both sides in the ACC?
No.
Carolina has been...
I was thinking nationally.
Carolina's been 50-odd years of unbelievable basketball, Letterman influence at all levels, business, pro ball, whatever the case may be, administrative.
And it's real. It's not lip service.
It is real. You and I both know then, because of our experience in this league, that the former players that are currently in either A, the athletic department at North Carolina, or B, the basketball office at North Carolina, are a constant conduit to those players that are out in the professional world one way or another, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Wouldn't you agree? I think that Mike Krzyzewski having four former players on his staff has that conduit.
No doubt.
Okay. Miami doesn't have that. Miami does not have the former player involved in football who can be the conduit to those players. And if Ed Reed is going to be that guy as chief of staff, I think that's the title.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Yeah. I got no problem with it either.
And I'll say this too now. The most important thing I saw in that deal was player evaluation and player development. Because I know one thing, Ed Reed knows who can play.
Well, that's what I wrote down. To me, that's the one that popped off the screen.
Ed Reed knows who can play.
Sure he can.
And now that he's on staff, yes, he can't recruit, but he can sit there and look at tape.
All right, here's what we're going to do. Take a quick break here. But I'm going to pose a question, and I know that the folks back in Bristol are going to scream in my ear. That's why I took my stuff out of my ears here. If we ask the question, for ACC fans.
Wow.
You know where I'm going. If you could hire a former player as your chief of staff, I don't care.
Haven't we done enough this week?
Hold on a second now. Just have your coffee. Enjoy it. If you, as an ACC fan,
yeah,
I don't care what the sport, could go back and get a former player as your chief of staff, who would it be and what would this – I mean, we'd know who the sport is. But who would you hire?
All right.
As your chief of staff for school X, for whatever the position needs to be.
We got a lot of guests to open up this.
I know. I'm just throwing it out there because we got a lot to cover in a short period of time.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
All right. It's the end of the month. We do this.
You want to give out Billy's?
Sure. I'm not going to answer it.
Why?
That's about right. That's a pretty accurate, as a matter of fact.
Why?
All right. We do this at the end of each month. It's all called Notepad.
Yes.
Right? And it's kind of like us looking back a little bit, giving you the highs and the lows. And I'm going to lead off here, if you do not mind.
No, go right ahead. You got a litany here.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is basically what we do each and every month.
Yeah.
The best offensive player of the month of January. I gave you a dose here, and Macri's going to love it. Because I went a combo.
Oh.
Boeheim Hughes.
And Buddy Ball and Elijah.
Yeah, and you know, you look up the points, I think they're different, but I think the difference is 1 point. I mean, they've been both out of sight.
But unbelievable.
That's one of the reasons they went on that 5-game winning streak, and of course Duke's coming to town this weekend for a monster game. So I went combo here, heavy orange of Hughes and Boeheim for your offensive player of the month.
By the way, Elijah Hughes leads the league in conference game scoring 19.6. Buddy Boeheim is fifth at 18.1 going into the weekend. Jordan Wara, Garrison Brooks, Landers Nolly, the three guys in between them.
All right. Best defensive player of the month.
Okay.
Going down there with you-know-who.
The Noles.
Lock him down, Trent Forrest.
Yes, sir. He is out of sight. He is so consistently good on the defensive end. Got to give him some love.
All due respect to Trey Jones, who came in probably regarded as the best defensive guard in college basketball. Trent Forrest has been dominant night in and night out. Not that Jones hasn't. I think Trent Forrest has just been a little more pronounced, if you will, Pat.
I totally agree. That's why I got the nod from my end, at least, on Notepad for the month of January.
Okay.
All right, best story of the month. We kind of jump on our own bandwagon here. The creation of the Glob.
Oh, my gosh.
That's had some remarkable run amongst other media members now as we try to figure out teams 4 through 15 in this year's Atlantic Coast Conference.
Yeah. We're just waiting on the graphics, aren't we, now?
That's it.
Yeah.
Amongst other things.
Yep.
But the Glob is alive and well and really decided that January was the month that they would say, guess what? Look at us. Forget about those big boys at the top, Louisville, Florida State, and Duke. It's all about us, 4 through 15, to try to figure this bad boy out.
When did you think we got traction on the Glob? Was that when a conference administrator used it the other night?
That was confirmation that we're on to something.
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt.
All right.
All right, biggest disappointment of the month. I went football. Clemson defense just could not get off the field after leading 17-7 against LSU in the national championship game. Tip of the cap, the Bayou Bengals.
Yeah.
Clemson had an awesome year, 14-1, but man, they just could not quite figure out that dude right there, number 9. He was just too good. Too good. That was a disappointment. But nevertheless, I think the Tigers are going to be okay. By the way, we have some more Clemson football news later in the show, which was really interesting yesterday.
Okay.
We'll get into that.
All right.
Biggest surprise.
Doubt about this.
I'm going to stay right there in the backyard because number 9 is coming back for Dabo Swinney.
All right.
Travis Etienne, I think almost everybody and their brother just assumed he was going on to the National Football League. And when he decided, hey, you know what? Kind of like college life, and there's still some unfinished business for me. Good for him, good for Clemson, good for college football.
There you go.
There you go.
Totally agree with that.
Biggest
chance to be a 3-time ACC player of the year.
Yep. And you know what? Why not?
Mm-hmm.
Best game of the month. There was a bazillion to pick from here. I've been bragging about this series because both of these games in the month of January were out of sight. And if you did not see Notre Dame at Syracuse, you missed one of the most entertaining games in all of college basketball this year. Even the return match in South Bend was tremendous. But these two lit it up for 33s. For everybody that says, oh man, nobody can shoot, nobody can score. Well, you didn't see this game then.
Right.
Because these two were out of sight. Really a great game, both of them. All right, we've got a couple other things that we've added. Compliments to the boys in Bristol. They want us to come up with some other things.
Yeah.
So, they gave me one of these, what's the best moment on the show? Well, how about the fact that we finally had our first head coach make an appearance, not for just a segment, but for the entire hour. And for every segment, Jeff Collins at Georgia Tech.
Was Diana Ross.
Right. He decided he was hosting the Oscars. And so here he comes, here he is with Hamilton. Collins was awesome. Brought breakfast for everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, look at it. Here's the culture, 404 culture. And so Collins was out of sight.
Yeah.
Set the bar ridiculously high for every single ACC head coach, regardless of sport, that wants some free airtime on the network. What's the matter?
I just realized I've got the Friday sweater on today.
There you go. Tradition. And I'd also throw in dear old dad, Billy Packer, making a debut as well in the honoring of the late, great Gene Corrigan. I'd throw that in as an honorable mention.
And for those of you that asked this week, we are optimistic that Billy's going to come to the basement one day.
I am 100% sure he will be here.
Okay. We are we're gauging a special occasion. That's right. Is that what we're doing?
We have orchestrated an appearance for the right time,
right,
which
it.
Will be tremendous for all parties involved.
That's right.
That's the easiest way I can tease you with what it is.
And we got to get some other people involved in the day Billy shows.
Yes, and I'm 100% sure that's going to happen too.
Okay.
And it will be an historic moment.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We
How about that?
Got that part worked out.
Got that historic part. In terms of the Atlantic Coast Conference.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we're talking big. This is not one of those lame brain ideas that we just come up with on the fly. This is going to be really cool.
You think this is one of those things that other shows might promote when we do it?
Well, I don't care. I mean, people promote whatever they want, but this will be very cool. I don't worry about that. I mean,
I like it when you say, I don't care.
I don't care. I know what we're doing. I don't worry about anything else but what we're doing.
Yeah.
And if we can be of help to somebody else, we'll do that too.
That's it. No question. But we think it'll be a big show.
It will be tremendous.
Yeah. By the way, some folks are already hitting us up on their chief of staff for their school in athletics.
All right.
At Mark Packer, at West Durham, use the hashtag Packer and Durham.
This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
It's a busy, busy show as we get you ready for the weekend.
Okay.
Really interesting games tomorrow from the men's side. We told you a bunch of upsets, kind of surprises last night on the women's side. Even though at the very top, Louisville and NC State have certainly separated from the rest of the field.
Like it. Are you ready for my notepad that you're not happy with?
Well, I'm not. It's not that I'm not happy. You just decided to make up categories of which we are.
I didn't know we had standard notepad categories. I didn't know we had rules and regulations.
How many months have we been doing this?
4 or 5.
And how many times have we changed the categories?
None.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Sorry, went rogue. All right, let's go. Best road win. Really? That's not very hard, is it? They were over. By the way, I still think Amir Sims hit one of the biggest shots in Clemson history to get the thing to overtime.
3?
Yeah. Clemson wins for the first time ever in Chapel Hill. Of all the road teams that won ACC games in the month of January, and we talked about the home team below 500, by the way, that's changed. Clemson got the win of all time. They beat Carolina in overtime for the first time ever. So we got that.
0-59.
Yeah.
At the end of that game.
Yeah.
0-for-life. 0-for-hardwood. Yeah. 0-for-dirt.
That's it.
0-for-round ball.
Yeah. Brad Brownell.
Streak is now 1.
That's it.
I showed you that t-shirt.
Yeah, it was great. I thought you might wear that on the show one day.
Nah, man. Come on.
I put this.
Undefeated in Chapel Hill since 2019. That's is it. What it says.
Yeah.
Classic.
By the way, I put this category in for you. This one right here.
Appreciate that.
Dunker of the month.
Oh, it better be my man from Duke. Yes, sir. This is my guy right here.
I know. Cassius Stanley's been on the show.
He is great.
By the way, next level.
Golly,
I think he's got a shot. I mean, I don't know how that works. We'd have to ask Drew. But I can tell you this. I like his odds All-Star weekend whenever he goes.
Oh, dunked it with his knees. Look at this. Kneecap. Dude, he is ridiculous. You know, I read about him before he showed up. You're like, okay, yeah, I've seen all these 48-inch vertical jump dudes.
David Thompson.
I mean, everybody seems to have one, right?
Right. Yeah.
The guy's got a 45-inch vertical. This guy's vertical is stupid.
46 set a school record. Oof. Top Zion.
And
that's what they say.
Not only does he float and fly, but it's the power jam, too. I mean, it's like, like American Airlines and then bam. He's better than American Airlines.
American Airlines.
Stanley's my man now.
I know. That's why I put it in there for
two
you.
Two in blue is my guy.
See, you were killing me for the categories. All right.
No,
next.
No, I'm killing you because nobody knew what you're – I mean, can we do this next month? Can we incorporate these if you want?
Yeah.
Or are you going to change them up?
No, we're going to have new ones.
Oh, all right.
I'm going to come with a whole new set.
Oh, I see.
All right. Best player. Now, I want to make this clear before I set Twitter afire.
This is going to be a problem.
Okay.
You can already tell when you start going into the definition.
The best pro prospect returning to football in the ACC next year.
In January is who?
Marvin Wilson.
All right.
Are you going to get technical on me here?
I'm just asking a question.
He was 25 overall on Mel Kiper's big board. I know Travis Etienne's coming back, Clemson fans.
That was my point.
Two-time ACC player of the year.
Because he announced that in January, you know.
Okay. Marvin Wilson was technically late December. Is that what you're getting at?
I'm just asking.
Okay.
I didn't say anything.
We didn't really get to the full notepad conglomerate, but in my mind, that's the highest drafted prospect coming back to college football.
So not only
from the ACC.
Not only did you change the categories without anybody knowing, now we've gone where notepad is like whatever month you want. In fact, not only whatever month, how about whatever year you want?
Details. It's all details. Okay. Next.
You know, whatever decade you want.
All right. Chrissy, make sure we get this. Can't get healthy, but we're still playing. In the month of January.
What kind of category is this?
This is Boston College.
Oh, my goodness.
Even Jim Christian's in a boot in January. Now, Christian's come out of the boot. I saw Boston College in January. Your guy's hurt, banged up. Now, everybody's got injuries. Nobody else's coach is in a boot.
That's Wes Durham doing early ACC Central Radio right there. Remember those days?
Dude.
You come hobbling.
I had to put that joker. I thought about putting that joker on yesterday.
That's what you got for working out.
All right. Now, final category for me. And I think, by the way, some of these categories are pretty good compared to the old biggest win, da-da-da. All right.
You know, it's because you don't follow directions.
GQ look for January. Telling you, boys.
Sure, it's part December, too.
No, this is January.
You sure?
Yeah, I want to see these again. In fact, I think it's a challenge to every school. Go ahead and get the alternates ready here. We hear Duke's got one. David Shumate told us they got one more coming.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to tell you what.
These two.
These are clean now. Harkens back to the days of Art Heyman, doesn't it?
I liked them.
Maybe the old school Duke, right? Over at the card gym, getting it done.
Do you have any more categories?
No, that's it.
Best screaming at your home fans. You have one of those? You got one of those categories?
No, I know.
No?
No.
Do you have a leader in the clubhouse on that one?
No, I don't. Sorry, I went off the board. I'll do better next month.
We all follow directions on this show. We have great leadership.
I'll do
Chrissy
better next
and
month.
Drew and Josh, not to mention the suits.
Lewis.
Well, Lensman Tim. Cosmo.
Ezzy.
Yeah. Radio.
All of them.
We've got Katzman in the corner office. We've got Rosenfeld flying all over the world.
The column out here helping us.
Right.
Yeah.
You got Roz Durant, who's brilliant.
Krista handles social media.
You got all these great leaders.
And PR.
And the reason they're leaders is because we follow
the
directions.
Rules. Yeah.
And everybody follows it except one person on this desk. You. What am I going to do with this? What are we going to do with this?
Just smirk and laugh and move on. By the way, we have tweets. Let's move on here, speaking of.
Because we have a guest coming up.
Tweets, chief of staff.
We're going wrestling.
We said, duels. You're an ACC school, and you had to pick somebody to be the chief of staff. Some of these are really good, by the way. I want to go to, let's start with Scott Medlin. Because I know Scott Medlin, I think, had one that was about Duke, and he was on this list. He said, chief of staff is already in place at Duke. The mayor of Durham, Nolan Smith, at N.Smitty. How about that? Huh?
I don't know about that one.
Okay. All right. You can take it out under advisement.
So he thinks, you know, I could come up with some others, I think.
All right. But Nolan's right there, and Nolan is an ambassador of that Duke program. Great guy.
No question about that.
All right. David Vivona offers this. Now, you're going to sign up for all this right here on David's tweet. He thinks Christian Wilkins would be the chief of staff at Clemson.
No doubt about it. I've told you this before. Said it even before it happened.
Mm-hmm.
That if Clemson had won another national championship and they went on to destroy Notre Dame and Alabama in the wake of doing it, that Christian Wilkins, because of what he accomplished in the classroom, on the field, the way he conducts himself, smart. I think he is the most celebrated Clemson football player ever. I know a lot of folks disagree with that, but his resume stacks
up. He's on the
up.
Stadium. You got to put him on the stadium.
I think his resume, to me, is the most impressive of any Clemson football player ever.
Packer and Durham.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
And we've got duels. Wrestling duels. That's what I'm talking about.
Friday night duels tonight.
I love this. Now, I told you I didn't think we did a very good job personally.
That's right.
Promoting wrestling.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of leading the way on this one, I'm sensing. Even though you're going to absolutely Heisman pose tonight's North Carolina Duke match.
Didn't say I was.
This.
I said it didn't look good.
I know you might not.
Look good.
Well, guess what? Coleman Scott is running the show for the North Carolina Tar Heels. He joined us yesterday after the show.
Right.
All right. We asked him point blank. It was a week ago. Friday Night Duels appeared on ACC Network in the Heels with the Blacksburg, and boy, did they put on a show.
Yeah, you know, they had some fun and they came to wrestle. And I felt like if we outfought them and we won some of the hustle positions, we'd be in a good spot at the end of the day. And sure enough, our guys did, and it was an awesome outcome for us.
Coleman, you guys are in the top 10 nationally. You beat a top 5 team last Friday. We hear about momentum all the time. Is that tangible now? I mean, is that something you can sense as you get ready for the match against Duke?
Yeah, absolutely. I think sort of since Christmas break, our guys have really kicked it in gear, and we had a tough Christmas break schedule, and really since coming out of that, we've had momentum when we started this dual meet section of our schedule here, and it's literally gotten better each and every time out, you know, and more so the wrestling's good, but their energy, their effort is, you know, each and every day is getting better and better, and it's really showing on the mat, and they're seeing the direct result of that in these wins.
I know you've got some talented guys here. We saw Kennedy Mundy obviously last week, and I'm old enough to remember his dad in the Olympics, so I guess that makes me old and him a legacy. So what is it about these guys that in this particular team has helped Carolina go to a level they haven't been to in a long time? Heck, it's been almost 25 years since you've been ranked this high.
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of it's just the belief in us as a staff, us as a program, sticking to it. We've had our struggles the last couple of years, and these guys haven't wavered, haven't faltered in that. And, you know, as we say, anytime we get a little bit of struggle, in us, we gotta let our work take us out of that. You know, and you gotta be consistent each and every day you're in the room, which is really what matters. You know, we only get to wrestle, you know, at 16 dates a year. So the rest of the time we're in that room working, and that's what's going to show your payoff. You know, it's not going to be just the weekends that you get to step out on the mat. You got to do it each and every day. And, really just, like I said, be consistent with what you're doing, not just on the mat, but off the mat is probably in our sport just as much as important.
Coach, what's it say with the fact that the ACC for the first time ever has four wrestling teams ranked in the top 10? It's pretty strong.
Yeah, it's for a six team conference and to have four of those in the top 10, you know, I've said it since I got here, you know, kudos to the athletic departments, in the ACC that have wrestling that really investing in us and in our programs and doing a good job of hiring some, great coaches. And, it's only better for us the better we are as a conference. You know, we need these, rivals. We need these teams better and better, and to have them so close, you know, just geographically, it's huge for us as well, and for recruiting. And, you know, I mean, I think we have four, and I think the Big Ten has five, and Pac-12 has one. And, you know, comparable the numbers wise, we're definitely killing it in that segment.
Coach, you also, I mean, you wrestled out at Oklahoma State, which is in my mind one of the beacons of collegiate wrestling. I mean, that part of the country. I mean, you go up to the Northeast. Penn State obviously has had an unbelievable tradition. Iowa State, and so on here. But you got three programs: State, Carolina, and obviously Duke, who you wrestle later tonight on ACC Network. Those are pretty strong traditions. I mean, and the fact that these programs have continued to grow into the 21st century when this sport has not maybe been as attainable as others might have it to be says a lot about the schools, I think.
Yeah, and that's the biggest thing I see is just these the schools and the admins getting behind it and realizing that, hey, we can compete in the top 10 and even take home trophies at the national tournament as Virginia Tech and NC State has in the last couple of years. You know, and that's a big thing for any school. You know, and we're a sport that like you said, the traditional powers in Oklahoma State, Iowa, Penn State, Iowa State. It's there's a lot more parity now, and you know, even though the South hasn't been known as a wrestling area, it's becoming better and better, and we're sort of building off that as well.
I love wrestling stories. Who's the toughest dude you've ever run across?
Competitively, probably a guy beat me in the Olympic semifinals, I would say. But coach-wise, definitely Coach Smith out at Oklahoma State. Still, when I was in school, there wasn't anybody gonna even come close to him. And you know, and it was never a doubt when he stepped out, and if he was wanting to win, he was going to.
All right, now you just gave me an ultimate tease answer on that, Coach. Give me a for instance where you said, "Hey, you know what? Don't cross the line, or else."
That's John Smith. John Smith at Oklahoma State, still a coach today. That's he's known for his skill and his technique, but he was literally the toughest dude, the meanest guy, and did what it took to win each and every time he stepped out there.
All right, so with that said, we get a duel tonight, for example, against Duke. It's one thing to be a tough guy, but obviously you just mentioned technique is certainly part of it. Would you rather have great technique or great toughness?
Oh man, that's really the ultimate question. I like to view myself as a technical wrestler, but ultimately in our realm, if you're not tough, you're going to get left behind. But gosh dang, for me it's skill, but you got to have a little bit of that toughness in you as well at the end of the day, because this is a combat sport, you know.
Hmm. Coach, there's an unbelievable heritage of wrestling. You're just the sixth guy to be the head wrestling coach at Carolina, which is amazing into itself. Bill Lamb did such a marvelous job there for what seems like 100 years. Now, all of a sudden, having this bit of success, and you mentioned it's been down, but now it's starting to come back a little bit. Can you sense a change and a culture change in the interest of your program now at Chapel Hill?
Absolutely, absolutely. I think guys now are realizing that they can come to the University of North Carolina and we can win national titles. Like you said, Coach Lamb and really all the coaches have done an unbelievable job. And, of course you hit your swings and, you know, you're winning and you're down a little bit, but I feel like we're back and we're really just getting started. You know, what we've done so far is just sort of scratching the surface of what we believe we can do. You know, and we do have a young team, you know, I think we got 7 freshmen, sophomores in lineup. You know, but that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We're building for longevity and we feel like we're doing it the right way. And that was a big thing when I came here is just doing it the right way because you can build for 10, 15 years, not take the shortcut and build for 3 or 4 and then hit that dip. You know, of course you had some struggles on the front end there, when you do that, but, you know, to me that was the payoff and, you know, kudos to those guys before me that have set this in motion and, you know, I'm just sort of continuing to do it and feel like, you know, we can always outwork, the other folks and that's sort of the mindset we take as a staff.
I think you've got a young guy in Austin O'Connor who we'll see later tonight in the match against Duke. I know you're high on his prospects. He's off to a fantastic start for you, right?
Yeah, you know, as a sophomore, he came in preseason number one. He took one loss to the number two guy, and he I don't want to say dipped, but he's down there. He's not number one anymore right now, but I think that's made him hungrier. And consistency of this guy for being even last year taking third and this year, I mean, his leadership and just he's the hardest worker on the team. He does the right things. It's really hit that snowball effect to the rest of the team. And they realize that, hey, you know, this extra work for him's paying off. I'm going to jump right in there with him. You know, and I've seen it each and every day and each and every match. This guy's getting better and he's hungrier than ever to be our first national champion since TJ Jaworski back in 95. And, you know, we're leading him and he's listening. And that's the best part about it. And he's one of those dream student athletes that you want.
Coach, we had some pictures from Virginia Tech the other day on the show where they had one match at a baseball stadium. They had one match at the local theater. And I'm thinking to myself, if you had one opportunity other than where you normally would have your match, where would you like to have it in Chapel Hill?
We did the theater a couple years ago, which was awesome. We dueled NC State in there and Duke back-to-back years, and it was unreal. You know, for me, it's probably the football stadium, before a football game in one of those early year matches. And I know Iowa and Oklahoma State did it a couple years ago, and I believe they got 40 some thousand there, you know, which is the biggest crowd for wrestling, in a single dual meet and, something like that, you know, on a Saturday before a night game, throwing the mat out there, right in one of the end zones and let's go after it.
I kind of like that idea. I was thinking maybe just right there in the middle of Franklin
Street.
That's
kind of what I was thinking.
Traffic, right?
I'd go to the intersection of Franklin Street, like Airport Road, and shut down that intersection. You can stand at the balcony seats at top of the hill would go for big dollars.
Spectacular is what
they hang over there at the other corner. Yeah.
By the way, speaking of home and on the road, because I watched the duel last Friday against Virginia Tech, and, you know, it just seems to me – as tough, warrior-like as this mentality is in wrestling, going on the road has to be the ultimate, isn't it? I mean, I know you love having a home team with you, But there's got to be a – it cannot be a better feeling walking out, taking on somebody who's fired up. They're fired up that you're there and just keeping everybody quiet.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think we had probably 10 people in the stands other than our bench, which was my wife and a couple family members. And, you know, you take pride in being able to go on the road and win something, a big match like that. You know, I watched our basketball team do it at NC State, and that place just, you know, it's like a church there at the end of the game. And there's nothing as an athlete, as a coach, sort of more satisfying then, you know, of course, at Virginia Tech after 165, seeing people file out of the arena, you know, and for us, that's just, man, that's what it's about. You know, we go in there, it's hostile, it's people yelling at our guys and, you know, but we love that. That's our attitude. We love that. Bring it on. You know, that we want to be in the toughest situation possible and show that we still can prevail. You know, and that's that, like you said, that's that warrior mentality that we have as wrestlers.
Coleman Scott, coach at Carolina, we appreciate you spending time with us. Good luck tonight in the Friday night duels against Duke, and we're delighted to be able to showcase it here on ACC Network.
Hey, thank you, guys. It's a huge opportunity, and appreciate all the love from you guys.
Right in the middle of Franklin Street, we got ourselves a Friday night wrestling show. You tell me that wouldn't be a scene, right?
It'd be unbelievable. Are you kidding? If we could do that.
I'm digging the duels, man. I think Friday Night Duels has got some – I think it's got a chance to be kind of a cool deal on the ACC.
If we could get it worked out where the Friday Night Duels were all the different venues of wrestling in the ACC.
I can't believe you're not going tonight.
I didn't say I wasn't going. It just didn't look like it.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.